Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 through 35, and its message titled, Masks and Veils. Reverend David Williams asks, if we know how God's plan for us manifests itself, there are so many ways we can express ourselves to others which are not part of God's plan. We need to give God's grace, love, and be ourselves to everyone. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. Each of us knows who we are. Each of us knows what the essence of our soul is, what it is that makes us cohere as a person, that gives us integrity. We know what that is, and yet in our lives, there are so many things that would distract us from that. We have things that we desire to possess. We have strivings that we press towards, even though we know they aren't really who we are. We still do it. We have identities that we present to others, images of ourselves that we know are false, but that we present anyway because we think they'll approve of us more. There's so many ways we hide ourselves from others and hide ourselves from ourselves. When we do that, when we forget our soul in the pursuit of approval or in the pursuit of what we imagine to be advancement, we move from God's intent for us. So right now, let's join together in prayer as we gather in this space today, asking God's forgiveness for the ways we pretend to be that which we are not and forget the self that God calls us to be. Let's pray this prayer of confession. Please join with me. God of compassion, in Jesus Christ you reveal the light of your glory, but we turn away, distracted by our own hungers. We confess that we speak when we should listen, and act when we should wait. We chase after dreams and trinkets and neglect those who hunger and those who weep. Forgive our aimless enthusiasms, our false selves, and our dark apathies. Grant us wisdom to live in your light and to follow in the way of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the book of Exodus. I'll be reading from Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. You can follow along on page 81 of your Pew Old Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's holy word. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer, amen. As an introvert, I've always found the dynamics of human communication challenging. You think you know how you're going to interact with people, but it always feels like the rules get more complicated, particularly now in this new era of human exchange. The way we converse with each other has shifted in the last 20 years, and there are all these new things that you can and can't do. Like, I used to be able to open my mail and look at all of it without any concerns. When I was growing up, that's just the way that you get the mail, you open a letter, there it is, you don't worry about it. You just open it, look at it. But now you don't do that with email. You don't open every last email enclosure and pour through it unless you're 100% sure you know who sent it and why. And you don't click on that link that tells you that you really do need to check in on your bank account because there's a concern, and then they just need you to confirm all of the information. You don't do that. That's a new rule. Or phone calls. Phone calls now are different. I mean, I used to just call people. I used to pick up the phone, make a call. That was what you did. But now, you can't make a phone call without texting first to make sure that it's okay to make a phone call. And that just seems like it's a step backwards in human communication in terms of complexity. I mean, it's supposed to be easier. I used to just call people to see if it was okay, to see if I could come over and talk and hang out. And now I have to text people to see if it's okay to call them, to see if it's okay to come over and talk. And you just, I doesn't feel like it's made things easier. And there's another rule in our mutual intercommunication now that's present, and that rule we all know. If there is a comment section, what do you do with it? You don't read it. You don't read the comments. The comments are where our shared humanity goes to die. And last week, I don't know if anyone saw this news about YouTube and its comment section this last week. YouTube, which is the new way everyone watches everything. It's the only place my kids seem to watch people playing video games. This is what they do. They watch people playing video games, but it's also where kids go. There are whole sections of YouTube that are set aside for kids, and it's unboxing videos. Like, here's a toy. We're going to open it. You get that thrill of opening a toy, only you don't actually have the toy. You're just watching it being opened. On the section of YouTube, the large sections that are meant for children to go look at things, there were people who were either predators or just pretending to be predators because they were obnoxious, unpleasant trolls who were leaving terrible, inappropriate comments for the kids to see. So YouTube has shut down all of the comments on those videos because they had just become toxic. I mean, you're unboxing a doll, but there's going to be horror in the comments. And that's just, what? So we don't read the comments, and you learn that early, and that was not how it was supposed to be. I mean, I am, as the last generation who grew up pre-internet complete, I mean, that was my adolescence and young adulthood. I was there for the first few years of internet culture, and comments were supposed to be good. It was this new and exciting place for human discourse where we would have a concept, and then below there'd be a place for dialogue and exchange, and it would create this new and enlightened era of mutual understanding. And that would be funny now if it wasn't so sad what we've done with it. I mean, I have a blog that's read by 12 people, and in the comment section on that blog, I used to have a comment section. I used to have it open, and for a while, I did actually have conversations. I had some very interesting ones, even with people who disagreed with me, and then it just became all trolls all the time, just souls coming there to yell and cast aspersions. And you wouldn't know who they were. You would never know them. They would make a point of never sharing anything about themselves, not their name, just some weird collection of, like, they always, one thing I noticed, they always had pictures of fierce animals as their avatars, like a Rottweiler or a wolf or a hawk. Some strong, wild animal that let them imagine that they were something other than the person living in the spare room of a basement apartment. It was just toxic. And then the trolls went away, and they were replaced or augmented by bots, which pretended to be people, but always had, "This is best blog post ever. I like reading of it," and then below there'd be a link that you didn't want to click on. And it was all just so toxic. And what made it so toxic was anonymity, was the ability to completely hide the truth of what that person was away. You could be anything or anyone, and the truth of who you were and where you were and the reality of your person, you can hide that. And in that place, people weren't just free to say, you know, to say the hard truths. They were free to do something else. They were freed from any sense of soul to soul, person to person connection. Free, given permission to act as if the other person wasn't real at all. That anonymity, that hiding away of self, does strange things to our soul. It is freeing, but not really in a gracious way. There's something about hiding away your personhood that makes another person less of a person. It's weird. It has this effect of masking them to us. Because when we say, "I don't want you to know me, I don't want you to recognize me, I don't want you to encounter me," it just gives us an excuse to let our worst darkness out. Hiding away rarely does good things to a soul. And in that cultural context, engaging with the story about Moses today, it's interesting, because here we are in Exodus, this great tale of the flight of the people of Israel from Egypt towards the promised land, and they have broken their way out of slavery, and they've escaped from Pharaoh's army, and they are out into the wilderness, and there God has given them manna and quail and hope and a promise of a new place, and they've spent all their time complaining. The entire, I mean, read the Exodus. It should be called "They Complain on the Journey." And they finally get to Mount Sinai. They finally gotten there. And they get there, and Moses goes on up, encounters God, gets, you know, all these commandments, and which, you know, are good for the people. And he comes back, and they're trying to figure out how to live together. You know, because he has to get two sets of commandments. You know, he goes up, brings back the commandments, finds that they're worshiping a golden calf. He has to smash them, which is not like it was in that Mel Brooks film, if everyone remembers that. No, it wasn't like that. Not like, oops. He has to go back, gets them. The people just kind of want gold and shininess. They don't want authentic relation with God. They want a nice idol that they can worship. So he breaks it, has to come back. We get a do-over in chapter 34 as he goes back up, gets another two tablets, and that sets us up for where we are now, which is that Moses is in unmediated, direct conversation with God. That Moses is encountering the divine in conversation, just himself and the holy presence of the Lord. And what that does is it makes him and his face and his appearance so radiant and bright that it completely freaks out the Israelites who have followed him. He comes down glowing and radiant, bright so that they can barely look at him. And that is bizarre. I mean, generally, when someone's their own light source, it's a little unsettling. I get that. And so the people are like, we're weirded out. And Moses is all right. And he casts a veil over himself. At least we think he does. We're not exactly sure what that is. The word that this passage uses for veil doesn't appear anywhere else in Torah or in the Hebrew scriptures. It's one of those, it's a hapax legomena, which is a fancy academic word for a word we have no idea what it means except from context. You can't find this word anywhere else. But he does something so that he cannot be seen, because they're weirded out. You know, I'm presuming it's not a mask like that, but something to prevent them from being freaked out, because the experience of him as a person who was in complete relationship with God just was more than they could handle. They wanted, all right, we don't want to look at you. You're too much right now. But whenever he would go back to be in relationship with God, that veil came right off, because he wanted nothing between his face and God's face. It's interesting, in my Hebrew coursework, my Hebrew professor, one of the things she loved to point out was that commandment of, you have no other gods before me. That first, the thing that's up top on the tablet that he brings down both times, that actually most cleanly in the Hebrew is translated as, let nothing come between my face and your face. Let there be nothing between us. Because that's what God asks of us. Let there be nothing between us. Cast up no idols, have no masks, have no falseness. Just be who I know you to be with me. That's what God asks. And we have trouble with that. I mean, if we know ourselves, if we know the depth of our souls fully, God knows that. But do we want to let God know that God knows that? That God knows every last little bit of us? Yes, God knows that too. Yes, God does. Whatever that is for you, God knows it. We can't hide that. none of us, no part of us, can be hidden away from the divine. And God asks us to love God fully, but also to pour out ourselves in love for others, and to be true with others and loving towards others and gracious towards others in kind of exactly the same way that God is with us. There's not that much difference between the love we are meant to feel for God and the love we are meant to share with everyone around us, which means, we are all completely ourselves, all of ourselves, with everyone around us all the time, right? Yeah, exactly. Oh, gosh, I don't know about that. I would like to say that's true about me, but, you know, there are parts about me that just ain't right. There are things that every one of us has in ourselves that, you know, the fullness of ourselves sharing with everyone. And yet when we don't, when we take on a persona with other people, when we take on a mask, are we doing what God asks? Are we being loving? Or are we pretending? Are we just hiding parts of ourselves away? Because human beings are always comfortable with that. The comments section lets us know that there are countless people out there who would more than happily hide behind convenient anonymity, behind the veil that this new form of connection allows us to cast up between ourselves. But when we do that, I think we sabotage an essential way God calls us to be in relationship with others. We are closing ourselves off and hiding in that darkness. That darkness devours us. It becomes easier for us to yield to spirits of anger and resentment and self-loathing that can snuff out whatever joy we might be able to discover in a true encounter with another soul. The more we do that, the more we yield to that, the more we disappear down that dismal rabbit hole. And that is not what God calls us to do. God does not call us to darkness, but brightness. As Paul says, don't do what Moses did. Don't hide yourself. Let your radiance be seen. Stand in your relationships with God and neighbor so that your light is unmistakable. It might be a little freaky, but it's a light that's needed, a bright and present challenge to the lostness we so often encounter in the world around us. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
How in you will God's purpose for you be made manifest in this week to come, in this time to come? It is so easy for us to manifest ourselves, to express ourselves, to show ourselves to others as something very different. We can show them that we are stronger than them or smarter than them. We can show them that, you know, we're a little holier because we were here today. Go to church, so that makes us holy. Just a little than that, but that's okay. There are all sorts of ways we can express ourselves to others that are the farthest thing from God's love shining forth from us. And yet what we are asked to do by Jesus is just that. What we are challenged to do by the Apostle Paul is just that. To let the radiance of God's Spirit and love as we have been gifted with it, to shine out to a world
that needs it, that needs every word of love and grace and forbearance that it can get. And so as we go out this week, as we encounter others, let that self, that true self that God has given us, be what shines forth from us. That doesn't mean that we're perfect, but it does mean that people can see in us that we are striving towards that way of grace that Christ wants for all of us. Let that be what all see in you this week and always. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.